from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It is a different show today. It is a different show because we now move forward without Dustin. And I thought yesterday was really wonderful. It was amazing. Honestly, I just have to thank the people that have allowed this to happen, including Dustin for his actions, including leadership of the station who allowed him to say goodbye in what was a really awesome way. And, you know, it's funny, like, there is today, there's a bittersweet feeling because I'm going to miss my buddy. And at the same point, like, I have been around this business long enough to know that, you know, goodbye is more of a see you later than anything else. And that when one door closes, I hate to be cliche, but one door really does open. And so as much as I know Dustin is going in the right direction, I can just tell you this show over the next couple months are going to go in the right direction. And it is obvious that you guys are going to want to know what's going on with the show. What's going on with the show? The reality is, I don't really know yet. We're going to find out. Like, we've got a journey to go on over the next little bit here, and of which I'm a part of it, but I'm certainly not in charge of it. So I know you guys are going to have a lot of questions, and I will do my best to answer them. But in reality, my focus is unchanged. My focus, and I know Keith's focus, and Mac when he's on the show, and when we get Mac to focus, and, you know, Kayla and Jax and everybody that we have here, that as we kind of move forward, our focus is to try and do the best show we possibly can. And to be open with whatever the future will come. Because it, who knows? We're just going to kind of figure it out from here. But today is a really good day. And, you know, it is easy to look at times of change and uncertainty and use that to fuel dread or anxiety. And let me tell you, I've done that in my life. I don't feel any of that today. Because one, we got to say goodbye to Dusty in the best possible way. In a real way. From the heart. And two, I am surrounded by an obscene amount of talented and good people. And when you have that, and by the way, that does not just, it's not just the on-air people, starting with Ken and Lyman in the mornings, all the way to JP at nights, and then the folks who work for us on the weekends as well. It's not just the on-air. It is the off-air. It's the support staff. It is the sales staff. It is leadership. It is billing. It is marketing. It is, you know, programmers. And so, can I just say I'm super excited? I am. And I think my work, and I think, you know, Keith is here to keep me honest. I don't think any of that's going to change, guys. So I don't look at this as subtracting. I look at this as adding things as we go here. And maybe we don't do the it's six something other and Michigan still sucks. But that doesn't mean we're not going to add new things that bring a whole new life to the show. And I'm very excited for it. And I got to tell you, I get home yesterday and Vanessa very sweetly listened to a good part of yesterday's show. And I asked her if she listened to 620. And I was a little disappointed because that's really, like, I tried to keep everything about Dustin. And then 620 yesterday, I really tried to just speak from the heart and let him know what I thought of him. And unfortunately, Vanessa at that time had not. She's since gone back and listened to it. But I was like, man, I really told him everything I thought. And my Sophia, just out of nowhere, goes, did he take it well? Turns out she doesn't realize that there's a whole connotation to that line that that you only use that when like somebody gets fired or when you curse somebody out. The did he take it well line. And guys, I got to tell you, yesterday was a long day. The last couple weeks have been very long and wonderful and beautiful, but a lot of stress and a lot of emotion. And I laughed so hard. It was the perfect exclamation point on an amazing day in an amazing couple weeks here. So as we get started, we have a great guest lineup today. We've got Kayla Coljohn on the board. We've got Big Weege, Jake Volnick on the 2020s, the assassin, Keith Britton behind the glassy knoll. And we got a pretty good F off Friday for you. Sean Sharif coming up at 2:40 to talk Dallas Cowboys football. Of course, we are inside 10 days from Dallas, Cleveland here in Cleveland. On the 8th, we got the Pulse with Keith at 3:40, James Rapine at 4 to talk what I honestly think is a bleep show. He'll disagree because he's got boots on the grounds there in Cincinnati, but the bleep show in Cincinnati with the Ja'Marr Chase situation, will they, won't they sign him to an extension? Then Derek Rackley, Westwood One college football analyst, he's going to be on the call of a game you're going to hear tomorrow, courtesy of Westwood One and 92.3 The Fan at 3:30. The Gators versus the Hurricane, big inner Florida matchup there. But as we get started, and as we finally start the show, and we get back to sports talk, because I'm emotionally exhausted and can give you no more, I think it's really interesting where we are with the Browns heading into the season. And obviously, early this week, we did the vibes thing, right? The vibes conversation. But there's been something that we've asked multiple guests. And I actually heard the Morning Boys, and it was Ken, asked Daryl Ryder today. It's been the question that I think we've all thrown out there that I don't know anybody's really truly answered. And it is, are the Browns better than last year? And that is an on-paper conversation. It's on-paper conversation because I haven't played a damn game yet. But I have heard every single reason why the answer is, I don't know. I've heard every single reason why the answer is definitively no. I haven't heard a lot of people say the reasons why it might be yes. And I think that's interesting because I think there's a decent chance. Better is not. I don't gauge better by merely just how many games did you win. That is a big part of it, obviously. But that speaks to who played, how did they play, how healthy were you, and who did you play? Who did you beat? Who did you lose to? So it is a big, big question. And I think when people have answered definitively, well, they won't be better this year. They can't possibly be better. They start with a strength of schedule. And it's interesting, guys. Every year in football, teams overcome strength of schedule. And we focus and we play the schedule game, which is a lot of fun, right? But in reality, guys, just because a schedule is tough or just because you have health concerns, as we do with Deshaun, the offensive line, and one or two defenders right now, it doesn't mean that any of that is insurmountable. Because I think this year, year over year, I think you have less obvious holes on this roster. Your safety room, right? And I know they got D'Anthony Bell off, who didn't practice and wasn't available all preseason, but like, whether it's Hickman or Grant Delpit, who had a great year, Rodney McLeod's back, Juan Thornhill. Like, the safety room was one of your biggest doubts last year. I have full faith that that's going to be really good. I think last year proved your depth in your secondary. I think you were 8 to 10 deep up front on the defensive line, which we didn't know about guys like Mo Hurst or Shelby Harris or Quentin Jefferson last year. I think Za'Darius Smith might actually be the healthiest he's been because he certainly, I don't think, was healthy or all the way back last year, and we kind of saw that burst at the end of the year. Then you get up front. Like, I think you have one more weapon in the skill player position. Now, you are down Nick Chubb, but by and by, Deshaun is healthy, we believe. You've got one more player in the skill player position. You've got a bunch of youth and depth at pretty much every spot on this roster, outside of maybe tight end. So from the roster side of things, I think you've got what it takes to be better. I also, by the way, I think your backup quarterback's better too. No Joe Flacco slander here. No, this is Jameis Winston versus DTR going into last year. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think DTR is even better than DTR last year. So if you have to flip over the quarterback, you shouldn't have to scramble the way you did last year. I also think, guys, and we'll see, because I don't know it's going to hit week one and just change everybody's mind. But I do think the fact that you have a new offense that finally fits what you honestly need from the Cleveland Browns, what you need for Deshaun Watson, I think the new offense could be the thing that makes you considerably better. I don't think Deshaun is fit in what they've tried to do the last 2 years. I think he fit more last year than he did 2 years ago. But people use the word excuse a lot, and they use, oh, well, it's an excuse about the offense. No, it isn't. Every single quarterback in the NFL has things that they do well and things that they do not as well. And Deshaun has been put into concepts and ideas that he just doesn't have as much success in. And that is massive for a guy dealing with an injury. That's massive for a guy who hadn't played previously in 700 days or whatever it had been. So the idea that the Browns might finally have settled on an offense, if Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski have found a sweet spot between what they like to do, that is another thing that could make the Browns better this year. And I do think, like, I get that we all have to do the I don't know with Deshaun's health. All right? And it is valid. I'm not here to strike down any idea that or paint a rosy picture about Deshaun's health. That shoulder will be in question every time he takes a hit all season long. And until Deshaun gets through 14 to 17 games in a season, that is going to be something we think about every single time the Browns take the field. And honestly, much like the Baltimore game, on random Tuesdays in November. But at the same point, like, Lamar Jackson had multiple years end in massive injury. Now, he played more football than Deshaun did in those seasons, but he didn't play good football in those seasons. And Lamar, after multiple years, I mean, really, in between his two MVP seasons, found it, and all of a sudden, Lamar Jackson's Lamar again. Joe Burrow is a guy, it's very convenient that we're not talking about how Joe Burrow has missed as much time as he has. But Joe Burrow, guys, Joe Burrow, every time he comes back, answers that question. So the reality is, are the Browns better than last year? On paper, I think they are. It doesn't rebuttal every single concern we have. But guys, quite frankly, we shouldn't just be going this whole thing doom and gloom and thinking the Browns are going to suck. We've got Sean Sharif coming up of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas at 2:40. We'll talk week one. We got James Rapine of Bengals Talk SI coming up at 4. Derek Rackley, Westwood One college football analyst at 5:20. But are the Browns better than last year? And the importance of those first two games. What a bleep show Dallas is. I fought tooth and nail with everyone who just assumes because they've won 12 games apiece the last 3 years that Dallas is just going to be great. I got news for Dallas. I got news for you. And I might have news for Cleveland as well as it pertains to week one there. But you guys can win a pair of tickets to Cleveland Oktoberfest at the Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds and qualify for the grand prize, VIP tickets, food, beverage, and admission to see Trippin' Billy's on September 6th at 8:30 p.m. Just enter the word holiday by the end of our show at 923thefan.com to get registered to win. It's all from Cleveland Oktoberfest and Sports Radio 923 The Fan and your boy, Afternoon Drive. But before we get to Sean, coming up in about 20 minutes there. So it's really less, I'm being authoritative and they're going to be better. It's more that for some reason, and this is not, it always comes down to a, oh, it's Cleveland sports media thing. No, it's not. We're just you guys. I don't know if you know that. Spoiler. I know people with an ego like to act like they're different than the common fan. No, we're you. We're the same thing. Yes, we might go to more games. We might have different access. We might have people that we know, but there's really no difference. And a lot of what you hear on radio is informed by what we hear in our personal lives. And so it has been the weirdest offseason that I can remember with the Cleveland Browns. And what I mean by that is because there were weirder, right? There were off-the-field things happening. There were coaches getting fired and GM searches and infighting and teams being bought and sold, all this kind of stuff. But where it's the weirdest is just the energy in whatever feeling and relationship the Browns fans have to the Browns. That doesn't mean it's predominantly negative, but it does feel like we've spent the last 6 months, 8 months, living in our fears. And while that is totally understandable, given the very serious nature of Deshaun's shoulder injury, or given the fact that, you know, the weight of that contract looms large, I don't think we've done a good enough job asking the question on maybe why the Browns should be better this year. And I know the record's tougher. I know that Deshaun's health. I know that the concern, maybe even the weight of Deshaun's contract, that trade, and all the stuff that he went throughout the field, maybe that's too much for Deshaun too. I get all those things. Those have been overstated. What's understated is this roster's better. What's understated is you're better prepared because you have a legit backup going into the season if Deshaun can't play. What's also understated is the new offense, assuming that Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski are on the same page. So that, for me, that is the crux of why I think the Browns can be better. Adam? Oh, man, that is bad timing. Adam, I was just about to go to you, buddy. Well, that brings us to the first couple weeks, and Zach Jackson was on earlier this week, and I got jammed up, not by Zach, but I got jammed up because I look at those first 5 weeks, and I think it's a soft launch to the season. Zach tends to look at those first two games as a learning experience.
I just think these first 8 quarters, you know, at home against Dallas and then going to Jacksonville in 115 degrees playing that team, I think it's just great scrimmage. I think that's the preseason for the Browns. And all they have to do is be 1-1. All they have to do is get those experiences, try to keep everybody healthy, figure out, you know, what they were right about, what they were wrong about, what they need to fix going forward. I think those are two incredibly tough games. They can beat Dallas. I will pick them to beat Dallas. But if you've seen the offense in camp, then you know they're going to need the defense to beat Dallas.
So there's a few things. One, I have always, and I've said this a few times, I do not have the apex of my expectations for the Browns offense starting in September. I just don't. It doesn't mean they can't. It doesn't mean they won't. I just look at it and I go, you've got two very different offensive philosophies, and the old play caller still calling the plays, and there is the Deshaun coming off a shoulder injury and an offensive line. Like, I just think it's less about, as a matter of fact, I actually still have sky-high expectations for the offense across 18 weeks. It's just early. I'd rather be surprised at how good they are than set an impossible standard for that offense the first 4 weeks of the season. That being said, I haven't ruled out the possibility. We had the James Palmer thing, where he was on NFL Network saying there's some quiet optimism in the Browns building for the way things have looked the last couple weeks, that it looks like Deshaun kind of has found his groove in this new offense. So that's a report. I don't know that I'm putting everything into one report, especially when the early returns were not nearly as positive. But you look at those first two games, I will say, I think every team in the NFL uses September as the ultimate, it's as an extension of what the preseason used to be. Whereas we're still figuring out who has what jobs, we're still figuring out where our strengths and weaknesses are, and what we do well and what we don't do well. And our hope is in 17 games, once you get to October, and certainly once you get to November, you can find your footing. Look no further than the Cincinnati Bengals. Almost every single year that Joe Burrow's been there, there has been some come to Jesus moment halfway through the season where, and last year it happened in the negative when Joe Burrow got hurt again. But I can remember, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, it was the AFC Championship year. So it was a year after they went to the Super Bowl. About 8 or 9 games in, they were either at 500 or just below it. And Joe Burrow and, at the time, Brian Callahan, who was the OC, and Zach Taylor, the head coach, had this big summit where it was decided maybe we should do things that fit Joe Burrow. And the Bengals went off on a tear and went to the AFC title game. That being said, like, I think I'm going to use the cliche, which has now been ruined because of sports talk. Both things can be true, or two things can be true at the same time. There, we ruined it even more. It's dead. We've beaten a dead horse with that. But I think it can be said that the Browns might be a work in progress early, as is everybody else, and that there's still an opportunity where, and this is where Kevin Stefanski actually has had some good football, which is early in the season. Last year was kind of the anomaly where they really, really played some of their best football down the stretch. But remember, it's not like the season started in disaster other than the injuries they had early in that season. Now, this being said, rein it back. Those first 2 weeks are an opportunity to take advantage of teams that are in precarious situations. And I'll just start with Dallas. I know we're going to talk a lot about Dallas next week. Guys, Dallas is not who Dallas has been the last 3 years. They're one of the teams in the NFL that had an offseason that was more about subtractions than addition. And that includes pretty much every side of their ball, right? They let go of Michael Gallup, and they lost several key defenders. They've kind of overhauled the offensive line. And I'm not here to tell you those guys aren't – the guys they brought in aren't going to, you know, all of a sudden make the offensive line a bunch of slappies. But, like, Dallas also has massive distractions in the way of Dak Prescott and his future and CeeDee Lamb. And it's interesting. Like, good teams all the time overcome contract kerfuffles. But every single one you add, in this case, CeeDee Lamb's just got wrapped up. And, you know, the other case with Dak, I don't know that that's going to get wrapped up before week one, which means he might be changing zip codes next year. Winning overcomes everything. But losing or negative momentum, especially in game, amplifies it. So you've got a lame duck head coach in Mike McCarthy. And by the way, a head coach that I don't really know whether he's a good coach or a great coach, because he's had amazing quarterbacks his whole career in Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers. But, like, I look at this and I go, okay, Dallas, I still think has enough talent to beat you if you don't respect your opponent or play well. And when I say play well, I mean play hard. If you take that game for granted, yeah, they can turn around and smack you. But I think too many people have looked at the spread in that game and said, well, Vegas says it's a pick'em. It's a September game. It is an extension of the preseason. I don't know that Vegas knows who the Cowboys are yet. And while, yes, Dak Prescott can certainly go out there and do what Dak Prescott does, he got one weapon, an overhauled offensive line, and in a defense that was gutted by salary cap moves. Now, maybe that doesn't bear fruit week one. Maybe Dallas does win. Maybe Dallas is better early in the season. But across 18 games, there's a lot there for Dallas. So, we have our distractions. We have Deshaun's health. We have the weight of Deshaun's contract and whether that's weighing on Deshaun. We've got an unhealthy offensive line. There's all those things. But too many times I don't look at the other way and go, oh, Dallas could be a team that is on its last legs with Dak. With basically, this year is a Hail Mary year for Dallas if they're going in with Dak without a long-term contract. Because basically, they're putting it all on Dak, all on Micah Parsons, all on Trevon Diggs. Bland is hurt, but when he's out there, they're putting on like five guys to overcome what is a roster that lacks a lot of depth. They remind me a lot of the 2022 Cleveland Browns, of a team that you can say, well, but Myles Garrett, but Denzel, but this player, but Nick Chubb. The problem is the devil's in the details with the football team, and there's a lot of uncertainty with the rest of that roster. 216-474-0092. The first 2 weeks are important. That doesn't mean that still isn't a proving ground for everybody in the NFL. Adam, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Yeah, I do think that we will be better this year, because the things outside of just the names on the roster that don't go mentioned is that it hasn't been a wild offseason where we've added significant pieces. We've had a lot of stability. We're building off of chemistry. We're building off of coaching, especially on the short side of things. Now, yes, all the injury concerns, I do feel, has the biggest variable. We're not starting as healthy at some key positions like Chubb, Denzel, who knows how long he's going to last if he gets another concussion. But at the end of the day, that stability, ability to build off something and not have to revamp your roster, makes us stronger than we were last year.
Adam, I like it. I like it. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much for calling in.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I said I like it like one too many times there, and it kind of made it weird. Yeah, but I did like that call. If you guys want to pitch in there, 216-474-0092. Are the Browns better this year heading into the season than they were last year? We're going to go out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Man has to go to work at 5:30 in the morning. Actually, that's when work starts. Sean Sharif there joining us now. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, you guys, whoever edited that up did a nice job. That's my radio ear. You took the different clips and put it all together nicely coming back from break. So nice job. Producer props, in my opinion. Well done.
Look at that. He is gleaming over there, our producer, Keith Britton. So I guess we'll start with the reaction. Now, did you make it, because this became a national story, did you think yep. that those comments were as incendiary as some people took them to be?
Oh, God. Great question. It's just exhausting. You know, look, of course, covering this football team and Jerry Jones as the flagship is like, you know, it's a sportscaster's dream. But it really does also get freaking exhausting doing this every other day and then trying to figure out what he says. So when I first heard the comments, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, Dak sounds indifferent. You know, he's reached that point in the relationship where he's just like, I don't care. Like, I have my girlfriend, I have my daughter, and I have my first contract, and I'm going to be good to go. They don't want to respect me. They don't want to recognize me. Screw them. That's the way I first took it. But then, you know, we had our Cowboys insider on today's show, who is, you know, a humongous Dak fan, and he said, and he's right, Dak is very calculated. You know, Dak is normally one of the most generic, boring quotes in all of sports. So when he does something like this and goes outside the box, it's probably with intent. And Jerry Jones gave a little backhanded statement the other day when he said, you know, I love Dak, and, you know, I just can't picture not having him. And you know, this thing is more about our cap problems than it is about him. But at the beginning of that statement, he sideswiped Prescott by saying, you could make the argument that if you haven't seen it by now, it's not there. And that had to have irritated Dak. So Dak yesterday, the main headline, of course, is going to read, I stopped listening to Jerry Jones a long time ago. That wasn't the most serious statement. The most serious statement was, it will be telling and it'll say what they think about me if I don't have a deal done. So our Cowboys insider and other people said it was negotiating through the media. I'm starting to believe that both sides would be okay if a divorce happened.
So it's interesting you say that, because that brings us to Jerry Jones. He had some comments in the CeeDee Lamb conversation. And one, it is manna from heaven for sports talkers. It is better than this bland, generic Ivy League crap that most of us have to put up with on any given day.
Right.
I mean, those dudes are where they are for a reason. But, God, it is, the monotony is insane. But what do you think actually holds the Cowboys back more? Jerry negotiating through the media, or his outdated views on when to extend people and how to extend people?
Well, That's a good question. So the argument, some people make the argument, like Michael Lombardi, who I know you guys know there, that Jerry didn't really lose anything with this CeeDee Lamb thing this offseason. CeeDee's people were always going to wait for the Justin Jefferson deal. But that doesn't mean you couldn't assign CeeDee Lamb last year, right? So this was the argument with the first time Dak got extended. Now, I happen to agree with them. I was not, you know, I was more of a Dak Prescott doubter than believer. And I was like, okay, if you have to pay him more, then go ahead and pay him more after you know more. And Dak came out and had a really good year. And I was like, go ahead, pay him his $35 or $40 million. It seems like they're doing that again. Like, I know that Jerry is using the salary cap and the finances as their excuse, but I have believed that Jerry Jones wanted to see what Dak did again this year, and then he'd be willing to pay him the $60 million or the $65 million or whatever the market dictates. Because otherwise you cost yourself so much money. The Cowboys wait and wait and wait. And I really do think that it is an arrogance. And it is a my sandbox thing that played out with Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. It's disgraceful. It is inexcusable and disgraceful that Jimmy freaking Johnson had to wait that long, that he got into the Hall of Fame before he got into Jerry's little freaking Ring of Honor. And he loves having the keys and he loves having the control and he loves having the power and be able to say it's mine. And when we all knew that Jason Garrett was getting let go, that he was not returning, Jerry waited and waited and waited. And it was out of his insecure or petty defiance to let us all know, you don't dictate what I do. I control the timeline. And that's what it feels like in these negotiations. I'm not going to give in to CeeDee Lamb. I'm not going to give in to Dak Prescott. And Michael Parsons is probably going to go through the same exact thing. So to your original question, how much does it hurt the Cowboys that they wait? What really the fans are most ticked about around here is that they don't make any over-the-top moves to try to make this upcoming season feel different than last season. This is the most defeated and the most angry offseason that I've covered in 15 years here in DFW, because everyone believes that this team, led by Stephen Jones, not Jerry Jones, that's a misnomer publicly, Stephen Jones is the frugal one. Stephen Jones controls the purse strings, and Stephen Jones, we believe, is the one that really doesn't have them go out there and try to be aggressive with an over-the-top finishing piece to get to the NFC Championship game at least. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
It was lovely. I liked it quite a bit there. Sean Sharif there, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Hey, if you're looking for long-winded and over-the-top, you've come to the right place, Sean. Best guess. Does Dak have a contract before the Browns game?
You know, this morning before my show, I would have said no, but we had on Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, who told us that the CeeDee Lamb deal would get done when we got back from Oxnard in training camp. And this morning, Nick said at the end of our show, he thinks his guess is a deal gets done before the regular season starts. So I'm going to guess that it does get done before the regular season starts because there's an argument to be made that Dak Prescott should just wait, that Dak Prescott should make them sweat and then just go ahead and leapfrog the market next offseason with the teams, because he can get to free agency if he wants to. But I'll go ahead and side with our insider who was right about CD and say and guess that something gets done before game one.
Sean, I know this is like I was like asking about momentum in sports. So when we come to the distraction of all this, do you believe that the distraction of multiple contract kerfuffles, and not just that, moving on from a lot of veterans this last offseason due to salary cap stuff, do you think that could have a collateral damage effect on the Cowboys on the field this year?
Yes. And you know, it's a perfectly timed question because Andrew Whitworth commented on this yesterday on the Rich Eisen show. We played it and I thought it was incredible. And this carries over, in my opinion, to every single workplace. Okay. So these other guys in the locker room who are not big names, number one, all we're doing is talking about the big names. We're not talking about them. But number two, and this is according to Whitworth, right? Who very successful career now on Amazon, was with the Rams championship and all that stuff. He said, if you're another good player, what is the message being sent of like, if I treat Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb like this, what's going to happen to me? And everyone is going to be, I call this season the House of Cards. And Mike McCarthy and his entire staff are on one-year contracts. You had the CeeDee Lamb thing just get ended the other day. Dak Prescott situation. Micah Parsons is not thrilled that he doesn't have brand new money. And what happens when things go south? What happens when people start looking out and looking over their shoulders? What happens if Mike McCarthy is starting to look at other job openings? What happens when Mike Zimmer is like, hey, who else needs a defensive coordinator next year? This is not the toughest football team. This is not the toughest organization. When they face the San Francisco 49ers, they get wedgies. They get their heads dunked in the toilet. They get pumped. And the Cowboys are bullies, basically. That's what they've been. They're NFC East bullies. They like to beat up on the crappy teams in this division. And then when they go have to face a real contest with real circumstances, they fold up and they run and they hide. What's going to happen with all this contract drama taking place if your football team is not thriving? They have Sam Williams already missing. And, you know, when you pay all these guys, what happens, right? Your depth is gone. Just look at the Rams, right? They won that championship, but they got lucky health-wise. The Dallas Cowboys are already missing a guy who they were counting on to be their second highest sack total in Sam Williams. You got your left tackle in Udoga, who's not as talented as Guyton, their left tackle, who Miles Garrett is going to introduce into the league. He's gone to go ahead and start off the season. And then we lost our second best cornerback. So I labeled this year a house of cards, and the contract status, the drama, the bitterness, and the one-year deals all add to it.
So it's interesting you say that, Sean, because I have tried to paint the picture that you're painting about my thoughts about week one, and I have been told that I'm sleeping on the Dallas Cowboys. So in Dallas, do you guys view week one against the Browns as a should win for Dallas?
No, not necessarily. By the way, everything I just said, I'm not applying it to week one. I'm applying it to, so I guess I agree with your listeners, but no offense. But when this thing starts, if it starts off 1-3, or if this gets to 4-4, or if this gets to 6-7, then I think everything that I just said applies. I'm having a hard time with the Browns game. And the person that I hate the most in Cleveland, and it's not for any massages and it's not for any low-hanging fruit jokes for Deshaun Watson. I hate Deshaun Watson because a couple of years ago, I said that he was even and even better than Dak Prescott here in the Metroplex. And since then, all Deshaun Watson has done is made me look freaking stupid and idiotic. So I'm having a really hard time with this game, really, because of your quarterback. And I think that's how a lot of people here view it, that CeeDee Lamb is brand new back on the practice field. You guys have a good defense. We have major question marks on the offensive line and the defensive line. Yes, we know that you guys are missing Chubb. I think this game right now is basically a toss-up.
I think Vegas agrees with you. And by the way, if you do come up to Cleveland for this game, if you just want to throw out that Deshaun Watson tidbit at any sort of tailgate, you're going to find some people who disagree with you. You're going to find some people who also quite agree with you. So do we get it? Do we have a...
Disagree. What are they going to disagree about?
Well, because every town has their homers.
Well, you can be a homer, but like you can't say he's played well. Like here's what I said today. Of all the things, when they gave him that, I mean, you lose your football card if you want to argue that he's played well. Like, that's just stupid. What I said today is what you could never have predicted for the Cleveland Browns, of all the heat that they took, right, for the Watson deal because of the PR, and is this guy have serial problems, and all the character questions. You know what the last thing would have been as the problem with giving Watson this guaranteed money and not being able to get out of the contract? His actual play. Like him actually being a good quarterback and really good football player was the lowest on the totem pole of reasons not to give him that money, and it's clearly right now number one. And I don't know how you could argue anything other than that.
Sean, we got a buggy buddy, but great stuff.
Tell your producer, man, I may be looking to hire. Thank you for having me.
Look at that.
Enjoy the season.
Great stuff, buddy. Sean Sharif there, host of Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.